Now we bring to these microphones David James. He is a man who is actually weekly on this broadcast as we look at issues confronting the entire world, and in particular the Christian world and those who are focused on Bible prophecy. But in addition to that, of course, the body of Christ needs to understand these issues as well. What I want to do with David is today talk about the Catholic Church and the book of Revelation, chapter 17. David, we occasionally discuss things happening with the Catholic Church and end times implications. But today, let's focus, as I said, on the Roman Catholic Church as it relates to religious Babylon, or ecclesiastical Babylon, as some people call it, in Revelation chapter 17. Now, you have studied and you teach a lot about Catholicism. How and why did this become one of your areas of ministry research and teaching?
Well, good to be with you again, Jimmy. Actually, it started the year we were saved. My wife and I were both saved 30 years ago. She grew up in a Catholic home, and so I began studying the Catholic religion from Catholic theology books and catechisms. And so I've been studying it about 30 years, and I've been teaching it about 25 years now.
So you have somewhat of a basis upon which to enter into our discussion today, based upon your study of the Church itself, but also the Word of God.
Right. I've done almost all of my study directly from Catholic sources, and I've been in Catholic history books and articles and all kinds of things. And then, of course, I teach even the Book of Revelation at the end of my course on God's plan through the ages. So I'm pretty familiar with how the two work together.
David, in the body of Christ, there's a whole spectrum of thinking concerning the Catholic Church. For example, some agree with the early reformers that the Pope will be the Antichrist, and others see Catholics as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, where are you on this particular issue and these two directions?
Well, first, I think that the Pope will not be the Antichrist, though I think the Pope will probably play a role in the end times religion that we'll get to, at least in some form or another. I think there's a big problem with looking at Catholics, just saying with a broad brushstroke, Catholics are brothers and sisters in Christ, any more than anyone in any particular denomination. A person is only a brother or sister in Christ if they've understood the gospel and believed in Christ. And unfortunately, many Catholics haven't heard the gospel, so that causes a bit of a problem right off the bat.
Okay, now let's think about Revelation chapter 17, since I want to use that as a backdrop for our discussion. And talking about false religious systems under the Antichrist and the false prophet, what are some of the most notable characteristics there?
Well, as you look at chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, as it starts out, it talks about one of the seven angels with the seven bowls say, "I will show you the judgment of the great harlot," and then it talks about that this harlot has committed fornication with kings of the earth. So that word picture of fornication really comes from the Old Testament and really is talking about spiritual fornication. In other words, an abandonment or an unfaithfulness to God, to the Creator God. So it's talking about some system or institution that is completely unfaithful to God and has abandoned Him. And then it goes on to talk about this woman being arrayed in purple and scarlet and having gold and precious stones and pearls. On the one hand, looking beautiful, and yet on the other hand, really be having this golden cup full of abominations and filthiness. And it talks about this institution having this relationship with the kings of the earth. And so there's something that's very big, very broad, that seems to encompass the whole world concerning this religion that is being talked about in Revelation 17.
David, do you see any parallel or similarities between the descriptions of the false religious system that you've just been talking about from Revelation 17 and the Catholic Church today or throughout history?
Well, of course, you know, we're not the enemies of individual Catholics. We want everybody to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But the system, as you said, throughout history, I mean, the Reformation in the 1500s and the 1600s was because even people at that day saw that the church had abandoned, the Catholic Church had abandoned the teachings of the Scriptures. So that part seems to fit the idea of an unfaithfulness that this passage talks about. Also, we know that that institution, the Catholic Church, is one of the richest institutions in the world. It's in every country of the world. There are political and economic connections with virtually every nation of the world. So it seems that there's a complete intertwining of, I would say, Revelation 17 and what we've seen develop over the course of history.
Let me think about this with you. Statistics tell us that there are about 1 billion Muslims, maybe more, but just round figures here. And then there are 1 billion Hindus, about 1 billion Roman Catholics. And I don't know how close we are on this, but nearly 1 billion Protestants. Now, that's about half of the world's population. Then there are all types of other religiosities happening around the world. Do you see any possible path to a single world religion that would be headquartered in Rome, like Revelation 17 talks about?
Well, you know, even some things that we've talked about in previous weeks, fairly recently, we see developments in what you and I have been calling, even for the last 10 years, a religious convergence. So there is an opening up among all of the religions of the world. There are, of course, the fundamentalists who try, in even several religions, that try to pull it a certain way. But there's an openness that is developing across all religions, and it is actually being led in many ways by the Catholic Church, and it's also being led by a number of Protestants. Concerning the Muslims, I think you and I both agree very on in the tribulation, because they won't bow to another religious system, then I think God's going to deal with them directly, and they will probably be taken out to, as far as being a world religion. I think many others will simply be open to it.
And this is a way that all of this could come together. But one of the other issues that we never discuss is the atheists and their activities during the tribulation. How do you think that may well play into the scenario for this worldwide false religion?
You know, I've never actually heard anybody discuss that particular issue. I think there are going to be several reactions. I think there are going to be atheists who haven't really understood the gospel prior to the rapture, and some of those may be saved at some point when they really understand the gospel. I think there are others who are going to fall into a situation like Pharaoh, where they understood the truth, they saw the truth, it was right in front of them, and their hearts are hardened because they rejected it. I think there are some who are probably just going to be pragmatists and say, I'm going to take the mark of the beast because I need to buy and sell, and they don't really worship the beast necessarily from their heart. Or the other possibility is that they're just actually going to be deceived by this great deception, and they're going to realize, or they're going to come to the conclusion that they were wrong, and that the Antichrist himself is God, and we know that he declares himself to be God, as we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes, and indeed, maybe even some of them might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because during that time that this false church is going to be headquartered in Rome, Italy, that's the book of Revelation chapter 17, there is going to be 144,000 male virgin Jews going across the world and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So some of these atheists, when they see reality, may turn as well to Jesus Christ, which would, of course, would be our prayer. The church having already departed from this world, gone into the third heaven to be married to Jesus Christ, but those on the earth still having an opportunity to receive Christ. That may be a result as well. You know, there seems to be a clear difference between Babylon of Revelation 17 and that described in Revelation 18. The word Babylon used one time over in chapter 17, three times, plus the activities relating to a city called Babylon and a great city. Word city in 18 used six times. Word great in chapter 18 used eight times. And only one time is it mentioned over there in chapter 17. But is there a connection here? And if you think there is, how does this work between the two coming together?
Well, I think, as we discussed before, the descriptions in chapter 17, plus the idea that the city is on is a city of seven hills, does seem that there are many factors pointing to Rome. On the other hand, chapter 18, as you and I believe, Babylon has to be totally destroyed at some point and with no inhabitants whatsoever, and that's never been the case throughout history. So I believe that the Antichrist is going to put his headquarters there, and I think when you consider 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, him going into the temple declaring himself to be God, I think he will be supporting and advocating the false religion in the first half of the tribulation period, and that will be reinforced by the false prophet, who may be in a high position, the high position in the Church of Rome, and then he'll wipe that out. It says that that religious system will be destroyed at the end of chapter 17, and so then he is going to move headquarters to literal Babylon. So that's how I would see the two working out together.
And just for your thinking, folks, if you're eavesdropping on the conversation, the book of Daniel chapter 5 is not the destruction of the city of Babylon, but instead the destruction of the Babylonian Empire. When you look over there in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, Ezra the scribe was there in that location in Babylon. And that's where he was living, and that's some 75 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire. And then Alexander the Great moves into Babylon. He's there, sets up his headquarters for the Grecian Empire. That's about 200 years after the fall of the Babylonian Empire in Daniel chapter 5. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, the Apostle Peter did not go to Rome. He went the opposite direction. He went over to Babylon, which was the second most populated Jewish city in the world at that point in time. It was the city of Babylon where Peter established a church, and he greeted all from that church there in Babylon. And then David mentioned that it has to be destroyed. That's Isaiah 13 and 14, book of Jeremiah 50 and 51. And then, of course, it says in 1 hour, chapter 18, verses 10, 17, and 19, in 1 hour, Babylon will be destroyed. The description of that, which would be the last of the 21 judgments. It will be the seventh vile judgment found there in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 17. Well, David, now I'm going to get into the end of our conversation, but I want to ask you what is probably the hottest topic about this. What about the popes, recent popes, or the current pope, Pope Francis? Everybody's talking about the 112th pope and all of that. How do you think the popes fit into, and you mentioned it early on?
Well, yes, Jimmy, I do see some connections and moving in this direction. And there are a number of popes throughout history that have demonstrated characteristics where they're tying into the political systems. That's how the European states came into existence, that they were actually church, state, religions, and empires, so they were connected together. More recent popes with the Vatican II that changed the face of the Catholic Church and its attitude toward other religions in the world. And then this most recent pope, as we've talked in previous weeks, he's discussing things concerning family, laying a foundation for pastoral issues rather than doctrinal issues, which is opening a whole door to other religions that has never been opened before.
But would you see him as a candidate to be the Antichrist and what the Reformers used to think was the case? I don't see that. What about you?
Yeah, I don't either. I think at most the head of the church could be the false prophet, but I think see the Antichrist as someone else. The other thing I would say is I think the end times false religion is going to be bigger than the Catholic Church. So it's going to be taken, maybe elements of that, but it's going to be taken beyond that to be able to be handled worldwide and handle this influx of people from other religions.
I would say that our friends eavesdropping on this conversation had better be careful listening to prophecy teachers who make this pope the Antichrist, would you not?
Yes, I would agree. We can't be naming names, and I don't think biblically it works out because of actually Revelation 17 and 18. So we stay with what the scripture says. We try to stay as faithful as we can and stay away from speculation.
You know, that is always our bottom line. Stay close to the Word of God. We'll be in a comfort zone that allows us to know what God's plan is for the future, which will be fulfilled, by the way. David, thank you so very much. I appreciate the conversation, and we'll do it again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy.